Okay, so today we're going to do a meditation related to the taras that protect from the eight great dangers or eight great fears. So, actually, enlightened beings cannot simply take our defilements away, you know, like pulling a thorn from our foot. Nor can they give us realizations, like pouring water into an empty bowl. The fundamental way that Tara, or any other Buddha, benefits sentient beings is to teaching us the Dharma and inspiring us to investigate its meaning so we can reach a correct understanding. And then Tara guides us in the meditation practices so we generate transformative realizations. But we have to do the work ourselves. So actually, when we're requesting Tara to free us, to help us, we are actually calling upon our inner Tara, you know, the seeds of our own wisdom and compassion. So the following verses, the eight verses that are written, are composed by the first Dalai Lama. So we're going to do a contemplation meditation where I will recite each verse, and then we reflect on the internal danger or fear and see where that is existent in our own lives. And when we go through all these eight external and internal dangers, we can again visualize Tara in front of us and a green light radiating, flowing into us, filling our body and mind and purifying it, and eliminating all the disturbing emotions and the destructive karma that we have created under their influence. Okay, so now just find a position that you can stay in for a while. Maybe move a little to the left and the right. You can hold your hands on your knees. But you can also hold your right and your left, palms upwards, thumbs together in your lap. Make sure your spine is straight. And then just take a few deep breaths. Really breathe out deeply. Breathe in deeply. Breathe out deeply again. And really try to arrive here, in this room, at this moment, on this cushion. Become aware of your body, feelings and sensations in your body. See if you can feel your heart beating. Really feel the liveliness of your body. See if there's any tension in your body, and if there is, try to calm it. And then we can think of our spiritual guide this week, beautiful green Tara. And we can visualize her in front of us again, sitting on this gorgeous lotus flower, with her body of this made of this radiant green light. And we can take refuge in her. Sangye chirang tsaki chaknam la jang chu badu dagni kyap su chi dagi jin sa gi pesa nam ki dro la pen si sangye dru bar shu. Until I'm enlightened, I go for refuge to the Buddha, the Dharma and Sangha by practicing generosity and the other perfections may attain a state of enlightenment in order to benefit all sentient beings. Fino all'illuminazione prendo rifugio in Buddha, Dharma e Sangha. Tramite la pratica della generosità e delle altre perfezioni, possa al più presto ottenere lo stato di Buddha per il beneficio di tutti gli esseri senzienti. So the first verse that His Holiness the First Dalai Lama wrote is about the danger of lions. And this is the outer aspect, the outer fear. The inner aspect is connected, that is connected to that is arrogance. And he wrote, dwelling in the mountains of wrong views of selfhood, puffed up with holding itself superior, it claws other beings with contempt. The lion of arrogance, please protect us from this danger. And actually, arrogance really dwells in wrong views concerning the nature of the self, the I, me. And although the I, the self, is dependent, that our ignorance and arrogance sees it as independent of all other factors. And when we compare ourselves with others, we get puffed up, ego. We can look upon others as being inferior. And we consider ourselves so superior or very competitive with others. And when we look down on people, it's like the claws of a lion. It causes harm. So now you just check and see where or in what situations you were or are arrogant in your life. And in what situations you feel bigger, better than others. And just reflect a few minutes on that. And if in the future our arrogance grows again in certain situations, we can think of a few ways to lessen this arrogance. First one is, for example, you can recognize how limited our current understanding is of so many subjects and so many fields. Just think of, for example, how limited your understanding is of maybe politics or difficult technologies or also the Dharma. Think, for example, of how limited your understanding is of the Buddhist concept of emptiness. And another antidote is to reflect that everything we know and every talent and ability that we have actually comes from the kindness of others. You know, our teachers, people that taught us and coached us, people that encouraged us in all areas. So if we really see this, how can we think we are so special, so much better than others? The second verse is about the fear of elephants. And the inner aspect has to do with our ignorance. And the verse goes as follows. untamed by the sharp hooks of mindfulness and introspective awareness, dulled by the maddening liquor of sensual pleasures, it enters wrong paths and shows its harmful tusks. The elephant of ignorance, protect us from this danger. So when you think about it, when an elephant is mad, he's really out of control. And he's so powerful and destroys everything in its path. And similarly, our uncontrolled emotions that stem from ignorance can lead to a chaotic life. A chaotic life when we do not have clear priorities. And ignorance can take us down to the wrong paths and can lead only to more confusion, more suffering. And through ignorance, we often do whatever is necessary to get what we want. So now just check within yourself and see where and when you were ignorant in your life and when you may have hurt others by your ignorance. Just reflect on that. When we call upon Tara to help us with our ignorance, we call upon our own powers of mindfulness and introspective awareness. It's like an elephant tamer who really knows how to subdue a wild elephant, really knows how to keep its energy under control for constructive purposes. When we are more mindful and have more awareness and alertness, it leads us more to an ethical behavior and a meditative concentration. Third is the fear and danger of fire. Inside it has to do with anger, rage. The verse goes as follows. Driven by the wind of inappropriate attention, billowing forth swirling smoke, clouds of misconduct, it has the power to burn down forests and goodness. Fire of anger, protect us from this danger. So just like a raging fire begins with a very tiny spark, also anger within us begins with a very tiny spark, irritations. And it slowly builds up, fueled by the wind of inappropriate attention that focuses on the negative qualities more, often exaggerating them, and it becomes bigger and bigger and anger flares up. And this, when we get so angry, it destroys so much merit, really creates destructive karma, which ends into suffering. So So just check within yourself and see in what situations you become very angry or irritated even. And check where the irritation heats up and becomes anger. Just reflect a few minutes on that. So to the antidote to anger is to develop more bravery, more courage and a strong mind, to remain internally calm when we are confronted with a difficult situation or confronted with somebody who harms us. So this fortitude or steadfastness is the antidote. Really has to do with clear thinking, mental stability. And also often when we get irritated, it's because we do not have a lot of patience with somebody or with a certain situation. So also compassion for other beings helps us to remain internally calm and create a peaceful strength. Fourth verse is about the danger of snakes, and inside it has to do with jealousy. Lurking in its dark pit of ignorance, unable to bear the wealth and excellence of others, it swiftly injects them with its cruel poison. The snake of jealousy, protect us from this danger. Like a snake whose poison can kill a healthy person, also jealousy poisons the happiness and goodness of ourselves and others. And when we experience the emotion of jealousy, we try to demolish the happiness and success of those that we envy. But ultimately, such behavior is self-defeating. Because even if we succeed, we do not feel good about ourselves when we undermine another's well-being. So it also suffocates our own mental peace. So you can check within yourself in what situations you can become jealous or were jealous in the past. And who do you envy? And just reflect a few minutes on that. So the antidote to jealousy is rejoicing in the happiness, the talents, fortune, and good quality of others. So when others are happy or have good qualities, we might as well rejoice. Because there is so much suffering in the world, it would be foolish to wish that others be deprived of whatever happiness they have. And actually, when we simply rejoice at other people's virtues, we really accumulate merit, as if we acted in those beneficial ways ourselves. So rejoicing in other people's goodness and good qualities really helps us along the path to awakening, and also brings ourselves happiness. The fifth verse is about thieves and robbers, people steal from us. Connected to these internally are our wrong views. The verse goes as follows. Roaming the fearful wilds of inferior practice and the barren wastes of absolutism and nihilism, they sack the towns and hermitages of benefit and bliss. The thieves of wrong views protect us from this danger. And just as we protect our possessions from thieves, we must take care that our right views on important spiritual matters are also safeguarded, are also protected. But when we have wrong views and we really hold on to them, it can cause us to engage in practices that we think might lead us to awakening, but actually do not. They kind of leave us impoverished, stranded in a spiritual desert. When we have wrong views, it always is very extreme, like absolutism and nihilism. Absolutism concretizes the way in which phenomena exists, whereas nihilism denies aspects of their existence. And when we are very stubborn, holding on to some strong views, wrong views, and somebody challenges us, we can become upset and defensive. So just check within yourself to what strong views you stubbornly hold on to and how we react when somebody challenges our views. Is it really so black and white as we think it is? So an antidote to wrong, sometimes strong views, is to practice the middle way, which the middle way's view can enable us to distinguish accurately between what exists and what does not exist, and to know what to practice and what to abandon. The sixth verse is about being chained, imprisonment. The internal connection is the chain of miserliness. Binding embodied beings in the unbearable prison of cyclic existence with no freedom, it locks them in craving tight embrace. The chain of miserliness protects us from this danger. Actually, miserliness produces chains of suffering. And when we cling to our possessions, unable to part with them, and hoard our knowledge, creates suffering. It's very easy to think that we are generous and great-hearted, and maybe we say to ourselves, I'm not attached, I'm happy to share whatever I have with others. But if we're very hungry and somebody asks us for our food, we may respond, no, I want to eat it myself, I'm hungry myself. You think about yourself first. So if we believe that possessions will bring us security in cyclic existence, we fear that if we give things to others, if we share, that we won't have what we need. So just check within yourself in what situations you did not want to share with others, in what situations you want to keep things to yourself and you are not giving at all, generous at all. So the antidotes to miserliness are non-clinging and generosity. With non-clinging, we don't consider material possessions to be a reliable source of happiness or an indicator of success. And again, it helps us to cultivate the love that wishes others to have happiness, which in turn stimulates the mind that takes delight in giving. Giving with an open heart can bring us joy and directly benefit others. So the seventh is the fear and danger of drowning in water. And inside it has to do with drowning in attachment. Sweeping us in a torrent of cyclic existence so hard to cross, where, conditioned by the propelling winds of karma, we are tossed in the waves of birth, aging, sickness and death, the flood of attachment. Please protect us from this danger. Like a flood, attachment sweeps over us and pushes us helplessly into the stormy ocean of cyclic existence. Under the influence of attachment to people or possessions, or praise or power, reputation, we can harm others to get what we want. And also at the time of death, strong attachment arises and we cling on to our body and our life. And when we realize we cannot hold on to them, attachment then grasps another body and life, and rebirth takes place again and again. We can even become obsessed with the object of our attachment. We worry about not getting it and fear losing it once we have it. And drowning in the flood of attachment, we are unable to experience satisfaction and peace. So just check within yourself to what material things or what habits or addictions that you are very attached. And you would not want to think about these being taken away from you for the rest of your life. What are your attachments? One antidote to attachment is to reflect on the disadvantages of cyclic existence. But if a prisoner believes that life in prison is not that bad, he will have no interest in freeing himself. And similarly, as long as we believe cyclic existence to be comfortable, we will not seek liberation from that. So for this reason, in the Four Noble Truths, the Buddha asked us first to reflect on the unsatisfactory nature of our existence and its causes, so that we might seek their cessation and the path leading to that state of peace. And also contemplating on our impermanent nature is another excellent antidote to attachment, seeing that the things that we cling to can change any moment, and we know that they will not last long, and thus are not a reliable source of happiness. Eighth and last verse is about the fear of demons and ghosts. And internally, those demons stand for doubt. Roaming in the space of darkest confusion, tormenting those who strive for ultimate aims, It is viciously lethal to liberation. The carnivorous demon of doubt, protect us from this danger. And as we talked before, there are various types of doubt, and not all of them are obstructive. The doubt that is curious and open-minded makes us want to learn and examine. It helps us on our path. However, the doubt that dwells in confusion and leans towards wrong views causes our mind to spiral in circles and really immobilizes us spiritually. And if our mind is spinning in skeptical doubt, when we start to do a practice, we doubt its efficacy and quit doing it. And also listening to Dharma teachings, we can doubt their authenticity and stop attending it. And unable to resolve our doubts, we remain stuck and tormented. It can be an obstruction to really change ourselves and attain liberation and full awakening. So just check in your own life why you have this obstructive doubt and insecurity and hesitation within yourself. What makes you stuck and immobilizes you? To counteract doubt, we must first stop the mess of contradictory thoughts and calm our mind, find ways to calm our mind. For example, by meditating on our breath can dispel discursive thoughts and focuses our attention better and better. And a calm and settled mind can distinguish important issues that need consideration from nonsensical, doubting thoughts. A cleaned up mind can clarify what we believe and practice accordingly. So by meditating on Tara and applying the antidotes to the eight dangers in order to benefit all beings, we create tremendous merit. But Buddhas like Tara can teach and guide and inspire us only to the extent that we are receptive. And if we contemplate these inner dangers, inner fears, and reflect on what we can do instead, put the antidotes there, really can help open our minds and hearts and really practice their meaning. So now we dedicate the merit that we generated through this meditation. You can dedicate it maybe to a situation in particular or a person in particular. Or maybe something that stuck out in this meditation that you would like to work on. So I do personal dedication and then I end with the prayers, dedication prayers.
Gewa di nyuru da glama sangye drupunye drowa chikung malupa kyoki salagwe parsho. Jangchup sanchuk rinpoche makye panam ge gyuji kye panyam pa me pajang gungne gunglu pel barsho.
Through the merits of this virtuous meditation, may it quickly attain the enlightened state of Aryatara and lead all living beings without exception into her enlightened state. May the precious bodhicitta mind that has not arisen arise and grow, and may that which has arisen never diminish but increase more and more. A causa di questi meriti possa io realizzare lo stato di Aryatara e guidarvi tutti gli esseri senza eccezione. Possa la preziosa bodhicitta che non è ancora sorta sorgere, e quello già sorta possa incrementare sempre di più. And just slowly move your body a little. Slowly open your eyes again.